Let's pray, folks. Almighty God, we thank you for your kindness to us, that you extend the gospel to us, Lord, that you offer us a way to be saved. And Lord, we pray that as we hear that gospel again this morning, that you would open our hearts to receive you and that we would live full lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder, have any of you heard of the famous and renowned preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones? Yes, quite a few of you. Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was in Westminster Chapel for quite a while, and he was instrumental in the ministry there. But he would often challenge people, and he would ask them, "Do you consider yourself a Christian?" And mostly people would respond to him, "Yes." And then he would ask, "Well, why do you think so?" And he would get answers like this: "Well, I'm trying really hard not to sin. Or I'm trying to live according to the Bible. I'm trying to be more godly. I'm better than I used to be. Or I go to church regularly." And Martin Lloyd-Jones knew that if they gave an answer like that, they hadn't quite grasped the gospel. And here at today, the passage that we're looking at that Hazel just read for us is from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. And this church, if you read right through the letter, we've picked up kind of in the middle and we're reading to the end. But if you read the whole thing, you'll discover Corinth are in a little bit of a mess. They're in a mess with their worship and they're in a bit of a mess with their theology. So Paul writes this letter to try and clarify a few things for them. And in the passage that we've just heard, this is almost at the end of this letter, and Paul frames the gospel, right? So we spent this whole letter trying to sort out some of the things that are going wrong in this church, and he gets to the end, and he says, "Let me just remind you, this is what the gospel is, and this is why you're here." And so he writes this: "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved." And this is what he outlines as the gospel: "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is what I preached, and this is what you have believed." So he outlines that is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life. I'm hopeful that most of you will have heard that before. That is the gospel, plain and simple. Okay, so that is the statement of faith that this early church were clinging to. It's because of that belief, because they held on to that, that you and I are here today, right? We're still hanging on to that belief. And at the heart of everything we do as a church here is the gospel. And it's what makes us Christian. Our belief in that gospel is what makes us Christian. Our acceptance of that gospel. For many of us, when we think of Christianity, we think of the cross, don't we? And for us, our church logo is that little yellow cross. And rightly so, that is a huge part of the gospel. But if we stop at the cross, okay, if we stop at Good Friday and we don't move beyond that, we have actually missed the point of the gospel. If we don't get to the point of resurrection, we don't get the whole gospel. And sometimes we can be fixated on Good Friday and the sacrifice, and we should. There is a place and a time to focus on that sacrifice, but we need to move beyond that to Easter Sunday. We need the whole gospel. We need Christ crucified and resurrected and ascended. Because if Jesus hadn't been risen from the grave after he had been crucified, that wouldn't really be good news, would it? What we would have is a dead Messiah, but we don't. We have a risen Savior. And so the cross without the resurrection isn't actually victory. For 2,000 years now, people have tried to disprove the resurrection. Okay, they've tried very hard to do some research, to do some clever scientific finding out to say Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead, and there must have been another reason, but yet no one has been able to prove that the resurrection didn't happen. Without the resurrection, Christianity would not have survived all this time. So it is a really important part of the gospel, okay, that we understand that the resurrection literally happened. Jesus literally was raised from the dead. But what is really important for us as Christians is we live as Christians in our daily life is that we not only know that the resurrection happened, but that you and I know the effect that the resurrection has on us. How does the resurrection affect you and me personally? Now, next week, we'll consider how the resurrection of Jesus will impact our resurrection, what that will look like when the dead are raised at the end, what it looks like and what it means to be raised to eternal life. So please come back for part two next week, and we will think about some of those really difficult and deep issues. But this week, I want us to understand from this passage, how does the resurrection impact your today? How does it impact what you do here and now, this Sunday? How does the resurrection impact tomorrow for you? The resurrection is not an add-on, okay? And we need to get our heads around that. It's not an optional thing. It is part of the gospel. Why does that matter? Because it impacts absolutely everything. Everything is transformed and changed by the gospel. But it is impacted and transformed by the resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul puts it like this. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. So Paul understands that the power of resurrection can work in each of us now, right? While we're alive. We don't have to be dead to be impacted by the resurrection. And I really believe that the power of the resurrection offers you and I three things in life today. It offers us freedom from the past. It offers us hope for the future. And it offers us victory in the present. So it offers us freedom from the past. I wonder if we took some time for each of us to begin to list our sins, okay, the things that we do wrong. If we had to write those things down and discuss them, we're not going to do that, but imagine if we had to do that. How long would we be here by the time we wrote all those things down? And perhaps you're weighed down by some of those things that you've done wrong. But you need to know this. You are 100% set free from all of those sins because of the empty tomb of Christ. Because Jesus is risen, you are set free from your sins. Listen to these words of Paul in Romans 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because that tomb is empty, you and I are set free. I don't know if you have ever been the victim of silent treatment. I would guess perhaps a few men here have been the victim of silent treatment. And it's that when you have done something wrong and your friend or your loved one is so annoyed, they just don't want to speak to you. And sometimes it looks like you're not sure what to do, and so you apologize. I'm sorry if I've done something wrong. And they accept your apology. They say, right, okay. But they continue with the silent treatment. And if that has ever happened to you, you're still not sure. You're thinking they've accepted my apology, but I'm actually not entirely sure if they've forgiven me. They're probably still annoyed if they don't want to speak to me. God does not do silent treatment, okay? God does not do you're half forgiven. You're forgiven a little bit. God does. You are 100% forgiven and free. God does not leave us hanging, wondering, Has he forgiven me? Are my sins forgiven? Because if he didn't raise Christ from the dead, then he would be saying to Jesus, I'm not totally satisfied with your atoning work. I'm not sure if I can let go of their sins. But God doesn't say that. So the grave is empty because God has forgiven us. And if he hadn't raised Jesus from the dead, then we would still be dead in our sins. And Paul says in verse 17 of our passage today, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, you're still in your sins. And so it's important that we know absolutely God has raised Jesus from the dead and we are not in our sins any longer. Because if we're still dead, then we stand guilty before a holy God without a defense. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it like this. If it is not a fact that Christ literally rose from the grave, then you are still guilty before God. Your punishment has not been borne. Your sins have not been dealt with. You are yet in your sins. It matters that much. Without the resurrection, you have no standing at all. Thank God that he has raised Jesus from the dead and you and I are no longer trapped by our sins. We walk free from that grave. So we receive freedom from the past because of the resurrection. And the second thing then that we receive by the power of the resurrection is hope for the future. Hope for the future. Any irrational fears in the room? Any of you particularly afraid of something? The staff team have learned during my time here that I don't do spiders and I don't do mice. Okay, I am petrified. I will exit the building as soon as I can. And loads of us have fears like that, right? Really irrational fears. When you consider the size of a spider and a mouse and all of that, I don't know why I'm afraid, but I am. But actually, for many of us, we have irrational fears, but we have a really deep-rooted fear. And we have fear of death and of dying. And perhaps that's some of you today. Perhaps as you think about death, you're afraid. The resurrection changed everything that we know about death. It changes how we understand death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ says to us as Christians, death does not get the last word. Jesus does. And so for us as Christians, the grave is a temporary residence. Jesus has defeated death. Generally, yes, for that whole force of death, he has defeated that. But personally, for you and for me, he has defeated death. Sam, I don't know about you, but when I conduct a funeral, and that's a huge privilege, but sometimes there are a couple of atmospheres that you can feel at a funeral. And I actually love to do the funeral of a Christian because there is this sense of hope. There's an entirely different feel in the funeral of a non-Christian and a Christian. And the difference is hope. The difference is hope. And that is because of the resurrection. It's because when a Christian dies and we hold their funeral, what we believe is they move on to what God has for them. They haven't lost their life. They've found their eternal life. And that is the hope that we have. John Newton was an Anglican minister and he's associated with that hymn, Amazing Grace. These are the last words he ever spoke in this life. Right before he died, he said this, I am still in the land of the dying. I shall be in the land of the living soon. I am still in the land of the dying. I shall soon be in the land of the living. That is a man who knows what hope means. That is a man who has his eyes fixed on hope and what lies before him. That is a man who understands what the resurrection has done for him. He knows that death is not the end. He knows that God has life eternal for him. As I said, next week we'll explore some more of that in detail, what that'll look like when we are resurrected and how and when and why we'll be resurrected physically. But the point is, it's coming. Okay, resurrection is coming. So we as Christians, we don't need to fear death. We have hope. And we have that hope because the grave is empty. 1 Corinthians says this: "It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ." That's 1 Corinthians 15 in the Message translation. Because of the resurrection, you and I have nothing to fear in death. Because of the resurrection, we have freedom from the past, from our sins, and we have hope for the future. So what about today? What difference can the resurrection of Jesus make today, now, as you sit here, as you go home, and as you carry on with your day? What difference does the resurrection make? Well, it can make a difference because there is victory in the present. The resurrection is not just a historical fact. It's not just a future hope. It is a present experience. The fullest experience of resurrection will, of course, be on that day when Jesus returns and we are raised to life again. That will be the fullest experience of it, but we can experience the power of resurrection now. It's not just for Easter Sunday, okay? We're going to be in the lead up to Easter very soon, and we'll wait for Easter Sunday in that celebration, but that's not the only day you and I are supposed to celebrate the resurrection. The Church of Jesus Christ has good news. We have good news for the world out there, and we have the responsibility to share that good news. So we say to those trapped in sin and darkness, you don't have to stay trapped, because Jesus did not stay trapped in the grave. And that should change how we live every day. Imagine, for example, you're a doctor, and day in and out, you're dealing with people who are ill, and perhaps maybe you work with people who are terminally ill, and you're faced with sickness and death. You get to know that the resurrection is coming. And so that should change the outlook of how you do your job. But whatever your job, whatever you do day to day, whoever your community are, whoever you spend your time with, you are a carrier for them of the message of the resurrection. You have a message to share with the world that God has won. God has won. He is the victor. And he is in the business of transforming and resurrecting people. Resurrection fundamentally means you and I have hope and we have victory. But I wonder, as I say that to you, we have hope and we have victory. I wonder, do you feel that? Do you feel hope today? Do you feel like a victor today? And if you don't, what holds you? What has stolen your hope? What is claiming victory over you? What keeps you in darkness? Perhaps someone has hurt you or disappointed you. Maybe someone you love has died. Maybe things in life are going just the wrong direction for you. Let the hope of the resurrection touch your life today. Go home and read this passage. Jesus is risen from the dead. Let that touch your life. Let God set you free from the darkness of the tomb. I don't know about you, sometimes I read the gospel accounts of Good Friday and Easter Sunday and that whole story, and I want to shake the disciples, right? I read the story and I think, were you listening to anything he said? The disciples watch Jesus arrested, okay? They watch him crucified, and then they scatter, okay? They look at Jesus on a cross and they scatter because they think, well, this is it. It's over now. and they run and they hide and they go their separate ways and they have no idea what to do. And I think, do you not get it? Do you not get it? He won't stay dead. And of course he doesn't. He's resurrected to life just a few days later. And if only they had trusted and believed, okay? If only those disciples had understood what Jesus meant. If they knew that he would be raised to life in 3 days, I don't think they would have run away. I don't think they would have scattered the way they did. And yet what strikes me is that there are times when you and I do the same. We live as if there's no resurrection. When life is tough, and life does get tough for all of us at some time, and when it gets like that and perhaps God seems absent, what do? We scatter. We lock ourselves away. We disconnect from God and perhaps from the church. We make resurrection a future thing. We make it that it'll only kick in when we die, and we'll consider that next week. But here, now, today, the power of the resurrection can change your life. So let me say this to you. If God could bring Jesus Christ to the point of death, right? Death is the point of no return, as most of the world understands it, isn't it? The point of no return. And if God can take Jesus to that point and then raise him to life again, what can he not do in your life? What can he not do for you this morning? Nothing. There's nothing that he cannot do for you. There's nothing that he cannot heal or restore or redeem or resurrect in your life. And for many of you, as we sit here today, many of us are dealing with our own personal battles and struggles, and perhaps you're going through a dark night of the soul. We don't need to scatter. We don't need to disconnect from the church or from God because we know the end of the story. We know what happens. And so even in a dark night of the soul, you and I can sing songs of victory because we know it's coming. Maybe you need to hear this today. Jesus did not stay in the grave, and you don't need to either. Whatever it is you're facing today, you don't need to stay in the grave because Jesus didn't. And he was resurrected so that you wouldn't have to. In the words of that old hymn, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of the resurrection. Lord, thank you that you were raised to life, that you were raised as the victor over everything. Lord, thank you that you are the conqueror. And so we as your disciples, we as your followers, we want to claim that victory in our own lives. And so over all those darkness, all that darkness, over those dark circumstances, over the struggles that we face, over the struggles in this room now, Lord, we claim the power of the resurrection. Lord, we claim freedom from the past. Lord, we claim hope for the future. Lord, we claim victory in the present. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.